With CarGurus Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and CarGurus Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder CarGurus is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with CarGurus at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, 1 hour to go, 60 minutes on the clock as we enter the final segments of the show. We take you till 4, Blitz takes you till 7. Right here on ESPN 97.5, it's the Hall of Fame with Brad and Booker T joining Fred today on the show. And I won't say Aaron because I don't know if he's in or out, but Tyler has been filling in this week as the producer.
It's me.
You're producing? Filling
in. Yep.
Well, then Nick Sciarra double dipping.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Which means you'll be chipper overtime and wide awake for that one, huh?
Yeah. I was like, man, I'm not going to go to training camp today because of it, and then they had a day off. So,
somebody said you guys should really go back and listen to what Chris Carter had to say this morning about the LeBron situation. It's about what the kids want. If they like it, what's the problem? First of all, I don't need Chris Carter to give me my opinion. True. I have my own opinion.
And we brought that up as a
second of all, even if the kids did want it, did the kids want him to go down the middle of the court and flex while they were at the other end playing? Is that what the kids wanted? Did the kids want him jumping up and down and on the baseline? Is that what the kids wanted? You know, if he's out there running layup drills and that's it, I get it. Throwing the dunks off the backboard and all that. I mean, that's just extra. That's just.
And if you're the team on the other end of that,
Chris Carter can have his opinion. We have ours.
Exactly.
It's different.
If you're the team on the other end of that, do you want some guy's dad running out on the court during the game to get everybody all jacked up against you, hoping that his kid's team does more so that he can be more extra? I mean,
somebody says, so LeBron can't be happy his son does well. To me, he's just being a father dad. It's not like he's acting like LeVar. It's got very LeVar Ball-like tendencies when you're on the court flexing. Did you see the video? Did you see him come off the baseline onto the court itself where they play and walk around flexing and the shoe? And dude, it was extra. It's over the top. You're not going to convince me that what he did, every parent does, because they don't.
No question.
And if they did, if there was a video of a regular parent that surfaced, that's what they were doing, I'd be like, that parent's a jerk. Go sit down like every other parent. Stop being over there being all weird because your kid got a dunk in a game. So it makes it,
and
it
again,
just,
I
it's
think
magnified
if it's just an
because
average
it's LeBron
parent,
James.
They're getting thrown out. I think that there's a technical involved. I think
sure
that the referee
are
stopped the game. I think if you want to do all the stuff LeBron's doing, do it in the middle of the bleachers. Do it not on courtside where you're actually flowing into the game itself by having your celebration end up on the actual court itself. Save that. Because, again, if you're just Joe Parent and you do what he did, you probably are costing your team a couple of free throws. There's a technical or two involved.
Or at least a warning or something.
Just like the layup line. These referees, they're intimidated by the fact that that's LeBron James, NBA superstar. But, again, if it was just some Joe Blow dad on the court that was doing all the stuff he did, there would be warnings, technicals, issues. The other coach would have a problem with it, and it would be a big deal. So,
again,
look at the whole situation.
From me, I understand why LeBron would be in the layup line. I get that. And if they cleared it with him or whatever, I get that.
You do?
Yeah, I get that. If LeBron James, like, hey, the kids, you know, they want me to be on the court. And I'm sure he was signing autographs for the kids on the other team. And so I get that. But, you know, the dunks kind of pushing it. But, again, I kind of get that. It's the whole notion that he gets the special privilege of being on the sidelines, on the baseline, walking on the court, being overly demonstrative, and no one else is doing that when their kids get a dunk. It's just the fact that he knows the camera's on him and he's getting away with it. No other parent is stepping a toe on that court without getting in trouble or getting a warning or anything.
See, that's why I don't understand you saying that I get him being on the layup line.
I'm not saying it's good. I'm not saying, but I get it where it's, you know, it's like, part of what a texter said was, I mean, think about it from the kid's perspective. it's a once in a lifetime opportunity for them. They get to do layup drills with LeBron James. So I do understand that. I'm not suggesting that it's okay. Because look, let's be real, Joel. If Taylor's playing basketball and you go and do layups with him, no offense, but none of the kids on that basketball team give a crap right. that you're doing a layup drill.
But I wouldn't
with
do
him.
That. That's
but
like
if
saying-
you were if Mario Elie's kids are playing basketball and he has the opportunity to do a layup drill with them and they're all in Houston, they're gonna love that. So I understand. I'm not suggesting that it's okay, but I can understand that. It's the other part of it. It's the other part of the video with the over-the-top flexing and all that. No other parent is doing that.
But see, here's the other thing where I would say, look, this is the kid's time to shine. It's his league. It's his season. It's his ability to be on the court and do it. If the roles were reversed, Bronny's not out there in layup lines with the Lakers if he's going to his dad's games. And I just think that LeBron, when the Lakers are in season, that's his time to be on the court and do his thing. If he's there to support his kid, amen to you. It's a fantastic thing to do. And you supporting your kid is just great on you. But if that means as part of it, I got to be in the layup line, I got to be doing dunks. When I'm celebrating, I got to be on the court. I got real issues with that.
Okay.
Because, again, it's not a level playing field. Any other parent does that. And they're like you said, on the low end, it's a warning. On the high end, it's a tech or two. And it's a stoppage in play, and it's possibly getting taken out of the gym.
Yeah.
Because I've seen these NBA, it's not just LeBron, but I've seen some of these guys that aren't actually coaches that are berating officials, that are all over guys, you know, that are just paying $25 a game to referee a game. And that's another issue, too, where it's like, look, don't be that parent and don't think that because you are a name that's doing it, that you are immune from the punishment all these other parents are subject to if they lash out or they're making a scene.
Well, you have to think that part of this is he's just wanting to draw attention to his son for scouts and colleges or whatever else that the benefit is that.
This kid's going to get a look for that without him ever having to do any of this.
But yep. I will use this as an example because there are plenty – and someone – I don't know, texted or whatever, sent me a message. I don't remember where the hell it was now, but somebody was suggesting like a guy like Keenan McCardo, you never know he's on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. He's just there. He doesn't make a big deal out right. of it. I do know that a buddy of mine, Kevin Thomas, he lives down in like Clear Lake, and his daughter played softball with, why am I forgetting his name? Big nose tackle from New England that came down.
Oh, God. God, he did the HEB commercials.
Yeah.
Why can't I think?
I don't know. I just do a complete blank. But he was at the softball games, and now obviously he gets recognized, but he was never demonstrative. He was, you know, he preferred not to be recognized or pointed out. If no one knew who he was fine with that. So there's two schools of thought here. You can use your celebrity and, you know, do it.
Vince Wilfork.
So you can use your celebrity or not. You can just try to blend in and be a normal parent and not make it about you, make it about the kid. And I don't think that's what LeBron did. I think he made it about him.
Because, like, so I'm with you because, you know, Keenan's got sons and daughters. His daughters all played volleyball. He would sit near the top to be completely out of it.
Yeah.
You know? And Mario's the same way. Mario's got triplets, two boys and a girl. Girl plays volleyball, boys play basketball and other things. He has told me of other NBA affiliated people that were actually banned from the gym. And he just sat there in the corner shaking his head and texting me going, would you believe while I'm sitting here minding my business up in the bleachers that so-and-so is going up and down the court, berating the officials, so much so that he did it 2 weeks in a row. And now there's a letter that all the parents got with a firm warning that you will not be allowed in the gym if you do this again. And so there are some people that I guess, do you give them a pass because they're a known commodity and they don't know how to act? As opposed to the people like you're bringing up, there's a lot of guys that are just like, I'm not extra. I'm only here to support my kid. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way it should be handled. So, yeah. All right. Enough on that, but I'm sure everybody's got more opinions, and I'm sure they'll show up on social media and otherwise, but interesting. And look, and it's a good thing when you look at this community and you talk about, Lance has talked about his kids playing baseball. Chris Paul's kids in the league. Bagwell's yeah. kids are in the league. You know, you get all these different. Houston's such a great community for all the different athletes and all the different sports that live here in the off season. unless they want to be recognized, a lot of them are really good at just being there to support their kids and going home and just having and stressing that they want their kids treated like anybody else.
Keith said, I officiated Shaq's kids in a game a few summers ago. He made a few jokes about some calls, but overall was a great fan and viewer of the game. Didn't once make a scene or make it about himself.
That's perfect.
Pretty easy to do. And then somebody said that the name of the player we were looking for was Butch Wilfork. So
pretty sure that was not wasn't
really.
Butch.
That's not it.
Butch. Butch was a running back for the University of Michigan a long time ago.
Butch Wilfork was?
Yep. Was a running back for Michigan. You can look it up.
Really?
Yep.
How the hell did you know Butch Wilfork?
Oh. And he played in the NFL for the Giants.
Did he?
Yeah, Butch Wilfork was a running back for the Giants short term, but he was there for a while.
Hmm.
So there.
Would have never known that.
That's what I'm here for, Barry. Every now and then I
appreciate
get to interject some things that maybe so mean something to the show. All right, so we'll continue to roll on with that. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest or you just want to get in on this conversation or others, give us a shout because we've got Twitter, as we're always available there. We've got text messages. We've got phone calls. I know we've got more to talk to and talk about. But
right now, Joel, I knew where you were. What? Why is he pouting, Nicholas? Why is he? Look, we're not even going to break yet. It's 3:10. We'll just hang out. He's gone. It's cool. What's up, man? How you been?
We'll just continue rolling on.
How you doing? You good?
Is he turning back? Oh, he's shutting the door. He's slamming the door.
Yeah, he's being melodramatic.
We can hear you.
Is he doing his Patrick Creighton in the hallway again?
He is. He's yelling right now.
Screaming. Yeah. Crying.
Can't hear the crying. Not yet.
It's coming. I won't tell the people about Get Upside right now. If you're not using Get Upside, dude, what are you doing? Why are you wasting money? I had somebody send in a picture of their Get Upside account. $55. They just texted me today. They've got $55 in their account because they're filling up the company car. How cool is that? You could be doing the same, but you got to download Get Upside and put it on your phone in order to get that cash back for your frequent fill-ups. And when you download the app and put it on your phone, put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you extra cash back on your first fill-up through the app, and it's a nice little bump you'll get there. So you can already get up to 25 cents a gallon, but when you use that promo code, you could get even more than that. So make sure you put in promo code Barry, and I'm not getting anything from it, but here's a tip. You can get your own promo code and give it to your friends and get paid when they use the app. How cool is that? There's a ton of different ways to get cash into your account using GetUpside. You can do the friend thing or, you know what, you can get 35% or up to 35% when you go out to eat and use the GetUpside app at any of the over 100 restaurants around the city of Houston. There's over 500 gas stations that participate. And look, I told you guys, when I was in Arkansas, they actually had GetUpside sponsored gas stations in Arkansas. How cool is that? It's all over, man. And you should get in on it because I want you guys to get money like the listener that sent me a screenshot of their $55. Don't leave money at the pump. Don't leave money at the table. Download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling through the final hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5, double dipping Nick Sciarra behind the glass. Kicking some ass before he heads on over to the Blitz. What are you feeling about that? You good with that?
Why wouldn't I be?
The double dip?
I just
want to make sure he exudes less energy when he's on the Blitz and less effort.
Believe me, there's going to be plenty of energy with Booker T. Booker T.
Is he high energy? Does he get up there?
Yeah.
Yeah?
He gets the people going.
And you worked with him in Vegas, right?
Yeah. I mean, we didn't talk too much. Their time slot was much later, but we did meet. We did watch the fight together. Yeah. I did work with him a little bit, yes.
Okay. Cool. I just feel like you should give less effort and because, I mean, your number one priority should be the suspects.
By the way, can we just tell people to settle down about the weed thing? I said, it's a bit,
they're
guys.
They're still texting
chill
about
out.
That?
It's a bit. It's a...
See what you did again?
It's a joke. Like, settle
Wait,
down.
You?
Yeah, what?
Jokes?
Oh, my God.
It what just, are they sending? They're, like, giving you exact locations to buy it and stuff?
No, like, there's just all kinds of weirdness, but, like, it's a bit. It's just relax. It's just a joke.
Funny oh stuff. Goodness. That explains the Twitter handle.
I don't get it. They're like, oh, well, no, chill out. Everyone, chill. Chill, please.
Sure. There's so, that.
I didn't... what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought. I got distracted. That's my bad. See, my ADD is awful. I got to do something about it. I really do. I got to do something about it. I don't know if I can do the Adderall again, but
you're maybe contemplating it was wearing Vince Wilfork's overalls.
No, not at all. Not even in a little bit. I did want to talk about this though. The James Harden, Daryl Morey, Russell Westbrook thing has been interesting in a lot of different ways. It changed your perspective of Russell Westbrook after you heard him talk and the things that
he
said. Not even
that, though. I've always been a Westbrook fan, per se.
But off the court, you kind of like, oh, maybe he is a good dude. Did you hear what Morey said about the trade? There was a point where James Harden was asking about it. And, well, first of all, Morey says that he wasn't expecting to go get Russell Westbrook until Paul George moved. And then he was like, oh, well, now I need to explore the possibility if they're looking at moving anybody else. Then it took some time to get Westbrook and to get the whole deal done. So he said he had to go talk to D'Antoni. He had to talk to ownership. He had to talk to James Harden and clear that, which I also think is interesting that wouldn't you talk to the rest of the team? It's almost isolating James Harden and putting him on a pedestal.
Oh, that's the way it goes.
Which it is. But you don't need to talk to Eric Gordon. You don't need to talk to PJ Tucker or Clint Capela.
Nick's right.
Why?
Because they don't. You need to talk to your star guy because he's the one that's going to. He's going to stay when other coaches get fired. He's going to be the guy that you spent so much money on, and the guy that you spent so much money on, and has that guaranteed money. That's the guy you ask.
And
that's the guy you clear it with.
Wasn't it an issue though with Eric Gordon and enough ball to go around and not getting playing time and coming off the bench and now he's probably you're the one that said he probably is bolting when it's over with because he's got a sour taste in his mouth because of this organization. If you value these guys, then you should at least give the appearance that you care as much about them as you do James Harden because the message you send is you guys don't matter. That's it. That's what you're sending.
But the problem is
whether it's true or not.
At the end of the day,
that's the message you send.
The difference is. Those guys are interchangeable. The guy that's not is the James Harden, the superstar player. We just got done talking about they get the big money, they get the long-term deals, you better hope they work out, but at the same time, once you give it to them, they're not going anywhere. It's the Gordons and the Austin Rivers and all the guys that had the most problems with Chris Paul that are also the guys that can be the most interchangeable when you look at their deals and their ability. So that's why, sure, in an ideal world, you let everybody know what you're working on. But who knows? In the middle of a deal that you're talking about trying to get Russell Westbrook, someone might go, hey, and as part of a three-way, we're going to send Eric Gordon that way too.
Exactly.
But how much longer does it take to make two or three extra phone calls? How much longer does it take?
But then you look like a liar in the scenario I just gave you. You just told Gordon what was going on, and suddenly a third team gets involved, and Gordon's part of the deal, and now you're like, well, you lied to me.
Yeah, because Gordon might be a part. Like, when he first initiated and inquired about potentially getting Russell Westbrook, he had to understand that there's a good possibility that Thunder might ask for a guy like Eric Gordon or a PJ Tucker because they're trying to get as much value. They know Westbrook is out the door, so they want to get as much possible. So you don't want to Eric Gordon, hey, dude, you're a rocket for life. You know, is it okay if we bring Westbrook in when you might be sending him just
fair,
to get Westbrook?
Fair point. But you already have some structure of a deal in place, which is why you're going to the team and saying, hey, we're looking at possibilities. We're looking at this. You know, it's a fair point about you don't want to talk about guys that might be involved in the trade, but there's no way that. Well, at some point, you know that this is imminent, and you know what the pieces are. And if Eric Gordon and PJ Tucker and Clint Capela aren't part of that, there's no reason you can't go to them and say, hey, we're almost done, but I wanted to let you know we're going to go out and get Westbrook. And, you know, it doesn't change your role. It doesn't change your importance, this or that or the other. I just feel like you put a guy on a pedestal like that when there's already it's kind of understood.
But it's
a
like,
lot of goodwill
that
you could use.
Jimmy Johnson said it, but it really is true. The fact of the matter is, not even in college anymore, do you really think that it's going to be true when you say everybody deserves equal treatment, because it just isn't the case. And especially in the NBA, and I've lived through these deals, I know that when they were working on a deal, they would go to Akeem, they would go to Clyde and Charles, whoever the top two or three players were, and that's it. And to Nick's point about one of the other reasons why you don't do that deal is to the scenario you're painting, they could have had the structure in place for the Chris Paul deal. But all of a sudden, Sam Presti might go, you know, upon further review, we're going to have a tough time moving CP3. But Gordon's only got 1 year left, so he's going to go at the end of the year. And if we like him, we can keep him. And he's at 15 or 16. You throw up Tucker, another guy that a lot of other teams might want that we could move. Now we're getting closer to the Westbrook deal. And that's why when we were talking about earlier about a deal's not done till the ink's on the paper. You could have the parameters of a deal agreed upon in a lot of ways. And Daryl's notorious for doing this. Like, you and I talk about making a deal between our two teams. We hang up the phone the final time, and we both think we got a deal. Until it's on paper, Daryl's been known to change his mind and tweak the deal the next day, or try to, and that's pissed off guys like Mark Cuban, who said, hey, whether we do it on paper or not, once we hang up the phone and we're both on the same page, we're in agreement, you don't change that deal. And in some cases, a guy that you, in the middle of the season, if you're working on a deal, a guy that you got in the middle of it may sprain an ankle or get hurt. But in the general manager's mind, and Carol Dawson told me this time and time again, once we agreed upon a deal, it's a deal unless we both go back to the drawing board and say, look, let's be fair, or I don't like this. Would you open up the discussion again? And if not, I gave him my word. So that's most of the things you got
to
consider.
I don't know what that has to do with telling a guy that's not involved in the trade that
But I just got done telling you, in terms of that deal, I don't tell Eric Gordon because Sam Presti may come back and go, you know what? As much as we've been talking about Chris Paul as the centerpiece coming back to us, we don't feel like we can work with him and move him somewhere else to get the assets we need. We feel like Gordon Tucker in a package there would be better suited for
us. Okay, but if you're going to trade him, then what the hell does it matter?
But if you already picked up the phone and told Eric Gordon, hey, we're going to go get Westbrook and you're going to play with him.
What does it matter at that point?
Because he's pissed off. You called him.
Go be pissed off in OKC. He's not a Rocket anymore. You got traded. That's the business. Why would it matter? But if
that's
you don't
why you
plan
don't tell
on
everybody.
Trading,
the less people involved in the deal, the
that
better.
That part doesn't make sense. If you don't plan on trading a guy, then you say, hey, we're thinking about bringing in Russell Westbrook. And then OKC comes back and says, oh, well, we want Eric Gordon. And now you go to Eric Gordon and go, sorry, bud, but to make the deal, we had to trade you. That's business. That's life. But PJ Tucker and Clint Capella are still here, and now they have the warm fuzzy that makes them feel like they're part of the team. Who cares if Eric Gordon, who's on the enemy now, is upset? Bye. Chris Paul's probably upset. Bye.
And I guarantee you, he didn't know that he was like they didn't let him know.
I agree.
He probably knew that he had a feeling, considering. All right, well, James Harden is probably the bigger man here. Yeah, I might be getting traded, but I don't think they necessarily went up to him and told him. But look, I mean, this happens.
In order to make that deal, you know, Paul had to go, and that's part of it.
That's not true. He didn't have to go as part of that deal.
How else are you going to get Russell Westbrook in that salary?
There were discussions.
You're going to move five guys for one.
Yes, that was the discussion. We talked about it.
Now you're the Lakers
scenarios.
With no guys.
Can the three of them play together, or is the deal going to involve Chris Paul? And will the Thunder take it? Those were the two scenarios. So you either gut your bench and you have three superstars, which no one else in the league had, and you try and put the pieces together, or you make the deal you made. And that's why I go
you're
back to
have
what
three
I said,
point guards.
Which
There's
is the
no
fact
way.
That. The less people that know, what you don't know can't hurt you. Because if Eric Gordon doesn't know if he's in or out or they're getting someone or not, he knows when the appropriate time is when the deal's done and he deals with it. But if you tell him one thing and then the other happens, now you've got sour grapes and hurt feelings and guys bitching
on
in the
guy
media.
That's not a Clowney, teammate
bro,
anymore.
It's like Clowney. Like when, the reason why Clowney, when he reports, the reason why it's going to be so awkward between him and Bill O'Brien is because there's every indicator that says there was a trade on the table, he was trying to get rid of Clowney, and because Gain wouldn't do it, now Clowney is still a freaking Texan. Now he's going to go up. He's going to remember that every single time they practice. Oh, man, Bill O'Brien is the guy that wanted to trade me, and it didn't happen. That would have happened with Eric Gordon. Eric Gordon, if they were thinking about trading you, and if they didn't get Eric Gordon for Russell Westbrook in that deal, then Gordon would have been like, all right, so you're trying to give up on me.
Oh, do you think that would have been the first time that Eric Gordon had been on the trading blocks and in discussions?
He would have
absolutely
been upset,
not. There were tons of rumors floating around. Everyone's on the trading block except James Harden. That was literally the mandate from Daryl Morey. And there were discussions about Eric Gordon going places and Capella being and Gordon and Capella being the root of a deal. They knew that they were in trade talks. So if it goes down, it goes down. And why do you care what a guy that's now on another team thinks?
Because he might not, at the end of the day, go to that other team. It made the deal may change.
And that
and
happens.
Then, like Nick said, now they got to go back and be nice and play nice and take a guy back and say, hey, we weren't really going to trade you or things like that. And there are
it happens all
different
the time.
Players have different personalities too. Some can take it and go, it's a business. As long as I get my check at the end of the day, I don't care where I'm playing.
You know,
and other guys like Eric Gordon might go, you know what?
You know who can't like handle this. That? Those young cats in L.A. And that bothered them, and it ruined the chemistry of that team. But Eric Gordon is a professional. He's a veteran. He's been in this league. He knows what this business is about. And you're trying to show him some respect. And you know what? If the end of the day, to make this deal and make our team better, we had to move you, then that's what it is. I mean, I don't think that, you know, by showing him a sign of respect and them trading him, that's the business side of it. But at least you included him and Tucker and Capella and some of these guys that are key pieces in the conversation. So
look, I feel like this happens in the NFL too. Like, let's say Bill O'Brien has Brock Osweiler as quarterback, right? Mm-hmm. I would feel like when they were considering trading a wide receiver, they probably wouldn't run it past someone like Brock Osweiler versus, I don't know, like an Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Like, if that, then they'd be like, okay, look, we're considering moving this guy for this guy. You would probably run it past an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady. I guarantee you they're not running it past a guy like Brock Osweiler. And that's the reason why, like, some players are just, they just happen to be more important. And there's that communication factor between, like, the front office and owners and their star players, because it's just been the nature of the game. I can see Eric Gordon not being told anything because he's such a valuable trade piece, and I can see how that would bother Eric Gordon. That's just me.
I could also see how it would bother him if you bring in a guy who takes away his shots and takes away his minutes, and he's in a contract year. He's in the final year of a deal where he's got to now try to go out and prove his mettle to get one more big contract before his career is over with. So now you bring in a guy that's taking my time away. Like, you didn't even talk to me about it. There's a lot of different. It's a tricky situation. But I think there's a way, even if we don't have the perfect scenario, there's a way to at least somehow involve some of your other key players. Because as it stands, it just looks bad when you isolate one guy and you're basically saying he's the only one that matters.
Okay.
Because Daryl,
we agree to disagree.
Daryl also said everyone else was on the trading block, so it wasn't like that was a secret.
But he also said several times Chris Paul wasn't on the trading block and he wasn't going to get traded, and he reiterated that multiple times only to trade Chris Paul.
Yeah, well.
So that's how that can go down, too.
He said at one point, though, via the Chronicle, that at one point James asked me, why is it taking so long to make the deal with Westbrook? And Morey responded, I told him, dude, your trade took me 5 months. So
if you haven't read that article, by the way, that Jonathan Fagan wrote, chronicling, no pun intended, how the whole deal went down and how the process and how many days and how many people.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
I bet.
So it's very cool if you want to catch that. All right, we've got a half hour to go in the show when we come back. 30 minutes on the clock. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7 right here on ESPN's number one sports station, ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel. Nick double dutying. We'll be with the Blitz today as producer T. Scott's short-lived stint back in the production studio. He's put the shirt and tie back on. He's back in the executive mode. Nick's doing double duty.
Yeah, he is.
These things
good happen. For him.
I meant to ask you this.
Somebody said, what if Gordon said he didn't want Westbrook?
Well, that's the other part of it, too.
Well, I mean, you don't
when you
go,
start including guys, but you're not, they think their opinions matter.
No, you're not going to Eric Gordon and Capella and PJ Tucker and asking for permission to make a trade.
No, but they're going to still spout off.
No, but you're letting them know, hey, we're just giving you a heads up. This is what we're doing. We're thinking about getting Russell Westbrook. The deal's almost done. It's basically Chris Paul and a bag of cash, or Chris Paul and some draft picks, and we're bringing in Westbrook and just wanted to loop you into the whole thing. I mean, that's being a good team leader. You, in business, you know this. You had people that work for you. If you were making decisions that could affect the people on your team, you let them know. You didn't just go to your best person on your team and tell them. You let all the key people on your team know. You're not asking for Eric Gordon's permission. You're just looping him in.
I hate to break this to you, but with all these athletes come all these egos, come all these personalities, and it sounds all great the way you're setting it up. But I'm here to tell you, there are guys that could be the last guy on the roster or a guy that is just a rotational player that when you tell them, they feel like they're going to tell you something too, and they're going to have issue. And maybe you're not telling them to get their opinion, but they're going to give it to you anyway. And it becomes a bigger deal and a bigger issue to deal with, because now, again, if the deal does change and they end up there, or even when they're moved, then they go out and they can start spraying bullets in the media about how it was handled and what was said to them and all these other things that you don't want. So in most of these situations, that's why they only involve one or two players. In this case, only James Harden was in the know until Daryl at one point felt so strongly that it was done that he let Chris know that he was going to be the guy being moved. But other than that, that's why you don't, we can go round and round on this. That's why I don't want to spend too much more time on it. It's just, we each have our own opinion on it. It's just,
somebody wanted to know who's the top who's your top three or whatever number ones, I don't know, in football, basketball and baseball in the city.
What do you mean?
Like host wise. Like, who do you think is the best basketball host? You.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think football, it's Lance.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
The only way I would say any differently is if you want to talk from a playing perspective. Someone's played the game at the highest level, then Seth. You look at Seth.
But yeah, I think football knowledge-wise, it's going to be Lance. I think basketball, it's going to be you. And I think baseball's Polillo.
Okay.
I think that's the top three.
And again, I don't
say... I'm not just saying that because they're here.
No, but I also don't shortchange you on baseball because you've already shown, especially when you bring up a perspective that people don't have in terms of numbers and analyzing the every aspect of the game, not just the eye test, because that has become such a big thing. And we're also going to be fair. Look, I think Greg Cook and Andy Kalu, when you talk about guys that played the game,
that's a good point.
From a football perspective, you got to get their opinions as well.
That's a good point.
So when you
maybe break it down, because you know Lance from a draft, from a college to pro and draft perspective, nobody's beating Lance in this market. Maybe in the
analyzing
in the South,
talent
in the region,
right.
In the country, Lance is tops.
I agree.
But you're right. Cook and Kalu, former players, are always going to have an edge.
Seth.
Yep. And Seth, yeah.
I don't know Clint Sterner, so I can't say. I know he played the game and he played NFL football. I just don't know him.
Basketball wise, I mean really, and now that Murph is out of the market. Is there? I mean, Matt Thomas, because he is there.
You mean Murph is off radio?
Yeah, but I'm. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, as a host, of the market as a host,
right?
He's not. But I mean, Murph at the time was probably tops in basketball. So I would probably say, it would be between. I'm going to take you over Matt Thomas just because I work with you and I know what your knowledge is versus his and the inside track that you had versus his. But he's very good at it because he's also there all the time and he's around the team.
Sure, and we're not.
And I don't know who baseball wise on any other stations.
There's really not.
Yeah. Oh, you know what we're forgetting for football is Salisbury.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, we got to
include
him.
Absolutely. You got to put Sean right in the mix. I don't know Sterner, but I do know Sean. And I think the other thing that Sean gives you is kind of bridging the gap between Lance and the Cook Kalu.
Yeah.
Seth, is he still working with big-time quarterback prospects? So he's working with analyzing
talent.
Sean's
probably more involved in football now than the other guys, for sure.
Yeah.
He may have to be
number
one.
So he knows the analyzing talent side of it, and then he knows the analyzing the game itself part of it. So, yeah, I put Sean up there as well, too.
Baseball, I mean, I honestly...
few and far between. And you look at the team, look at the station that has baseball, but they don't have a baseball guy.
I feel like that one dude whose voice cracks all the time. He's always there, but I don't.
Who's that?
I don't know his name, but I would take Polillo when it comes to baseball.
Yeah, he's
and Pete Crate's pretty good at baseball too.
Yeah, yeah.
So sorry, we're biased. You asked though,
true.
So you got the biased answer.
No doubt about it. And you know, like the fact that Charlie is keeping score at almost every Astros game and keeping the book.
Does he really?
Oh yeah. And then he takes notes, and then from the notes he brings them in handwritten for every show.
What a dork.
Okay.
Like, who's doing that?
That's exactly right. But that's why you give him credit for doing what he does.
Nerdy ass Polillo.
That's not nice.
Nick does the scorecard. His looks like a 3-year old did it.
That's at Hooters.
No, that's not at Hooters. His is Twin I've never Peaks? Seen one of his. I don't know what it looks like. Just messing with him. Oh. And he can't hear, so that's good. Speaking of baseball, MLB power rankings were out for the week.
Yep.
Not a ton of surprises at the top. Dodgers are clearly the number one team in baseball. Astros number two. And I say clearly because the Astros are really high right now. We talked about them being the hottest team in baseball at the moment. Number three, the Yankees. Number four, the Twins. Although they're fading
they
a little
sure
bit.
Are.
Number five, the Red Sox. Number six, the Indians. A lot of people still sleeping on the Braves at seven. Rays at eight. A's at nine. And then the Nationals at 10.
Here's the
not a ton of surprises,
no,
really.
No, and the Dodgers are a clear cut, but they have to prove they can win it all. So yeah. You know what? They can win the National League because they've done that like the Buffalo Bills did by winning the AFC all those years.
Yeah.
But you got to be able to finish the deal. That's why the trade deadline is so important for them. They need bullpen help. We know the Yankees need starters. The reason why I wrote the column I wrote for Sports Map this morning on what if everybody does nothing, I think it's advantage Astros.
That's a good idea.
Because of the fact that there's not a difference maker like a Verlander on the market. Of the guys that are still out there, a lot of them have no trades to stay away from the Yankees. Or bias in the case of the Mets, who don't want to help the crosstown rivals. So if all those things are being considered and the Yankees don't make a move, it really helps the Astros because the Astros have horses at the top of their rotation. They might not be as powerful hitting home runs as the Yankees, but in terms of average and production and the ability to put runs on the board, they can compete with just about anybody offensively. Yeah. And their bullpen, as you continue to make sure that people realize, look, they might have a couple slip-ups, but the bottom line is their numbers are competitive with some of the top bullpens in baseball. So as the most complete team in the game, if all things stay the same, you could see Astros Dodgers in the World Series again, in my opinion.
Yeah, you really could.
So
it's very feasible. To me, it probably comes down to it'll be interesting to see. I don't know how the final brackets are going to shape up, but I could see that be a Braves Dodgers in the National League and Yankees Astros.
Sure, and I think you and I said all along it's always going to come down to the Astros and the Yankees and the American League.
Yeah,
it's where there's a little bit of a wiggle room in the National League. But overall, it comes down to, from a Yankees perspective, can your starting pitching, if you decide to keep it, can they get it together after what has been a disastrous month of July?
Yeah.
And from an Astros perspective, just get healthy and then figure out if you can find one last guy, if it is Brad Peacock or Colin McHugh or one of the young kids, just figure out what you're going to do and stress that you just need four starters for the playoffs and three of them are locked in. And you're confident with them, unlike the Yankees.
And I think the Braves need to go out and get a little more pitching.
I agree.
I mean, they prove they can score with the best of them. But I'd like to see them. They're up over 500 in runs allowed at this point. And some of the better teams in baseball Dodgers are, you
but
know,
did you watch them last night?
425. So if you're under, you know, if you're in the 425, 450 range right now, you've got a pretty good pitching staff. I mean, Astros are at 434, so that gives you an idea. And all the division winners in the American League are under 500. So the Braves, I think, do need it. But they have time.
If you watched the game last night, perfect example. Keuchel pitching from behind, but scrapping, staying in the game, down 2-0. They tie it at 2.
Yeah.
He leaves with first and second. And the bullpen blows up, gives up a grand slam and to Rondon. And it's over.
Yeah.
And you're like, wow. You got to do something about the middle of that bullpen.
Yeah, they do need some arms, and that means a lot of teams need arms right now. Let's be real, but
sure.
That I think that if I'm the Braves, that's probably an area of focus. And they're still a top 10 bullpen, but if they're going to be considered a serious contender for a National League pennant, they need to improve.
Yeah, they're young and they got bats and they got talent offensively. But
I felt like
right.
Last year they showed out
them,
a year
you?
Early. Well, no, I said that I thought they were still another year away, and then they showed up and made me look. They were on the radar, but they arrived a year earlier than I thought. But they're loaded, man. Ton of talent. They just need some arms there. Their starting pitching is kind of middle of the road.
Right.
Bullpen is still good, but not great. So I think if they add an arm or two, man, Yankees are legitimate. I mean, Braves are legitimate contenders.
There you have it. One segment to go on the show. We'll put a bow on it, turn over to the Blitz next. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Truth is hard to swallow, so you pray to God. Justice, Father, we live a lie, live a lie, live a lie.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, and we proudly hydrate with C-Force Water. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
right there.
Nothing like a little video on the stream to tighten you right up.
Right there, buddy.
On a Tuesday. Barry's giving you a good nip view, bicep view. I don't know what else you're doing over there, view.
I don't know.
Little Phil Mickelson view.
Yeah.
Okay.
I like when people text the radio station and tell you to shut up when it's our job to talk.
I don't think people remember. They have no concept.
Somebody was like, shut up, Barry. Like, you dumbass, it's my job to talk. I'm supposed to talk. I'm not. You have a knob. Use it. Change the channel. I have to talk. I would love to shut up, but then I would get fired, which I'm sure you would like that, but my bill collectors wouldn't. So, did you see the story about Joe Rogan?
No, what's up?
Paying for a fighter's stem cell therapy?
Man, I wish he'd pay for mine.
Right? How badass is that? So, Miriam Nakamoto was injured in Invicta 7, FC 7, back in 2013, tore her ACL. It's been like 6 years now, and she still hasn't been able to recover and get back. She would get in there, and she would have problems again. It's a grade 3 lesion on the meniscus, all this medical stuff. Basically, the doctors told her, look, you're done. The only chance you have and the only hope you have of ever fighting again is stem cell therapy, and it's going to cost you $30,000. So Joe Rogan texts her and says, hey, your treatment with Dr. Reardon is going to be 100% on the house, and I'm covering all your expenses to get down there. She said, Dr. Reardon said something like that, but I was afraid to ask either of you to clarify. He said, you are 100% covered. Just give me a mailing address so I can get it sorted out. She said, I'm speechless. I'm getting a second chance.
Hook it up.
Here's what's crazy.
That's fantastic.
Well, and you think, okay, so she's 42 years old, and you're like, whoa, I don't know if that's a good investment. She's 42 years old, 16-0 in Muay Thai, 8-time Muay Thai world champion, 16-0, 14-0 as a kickboxer, and she was 2-1 as a mixed martial artist, and the one loss was when she tore her ACL. So, I mean, literally, she's a badass. And I think that that's probably what Rogan recognized is like, man, if she's healthy, she's dominant. Like, and plus, you know, that's probably how she earns her living, and that sucks. So, it's a great story. And you know, Rogan catches a lot of heat from some people, but pretty cool story.
Man, I've been all over this stem cell research thing ever since he brought on Mel Gibson and that doctor, and Mel Gibson getting his dad treated. I've been all about it. I wish I could afford that. I'd take the first flight to Panama, whatever country they want me to go.
That's what it is. Like, you can't do it here, right? Like, no. It's illegal or whatever. It's not approved. And I don't understand that. It's just another, and I'm not trying to start a political debate, but sounds to me like the, you know, big pharma and the medical industry and don't want to see this happen. But at the end of the day, it's really just about getting people better.
Yeah, that's what it should be. Here's the other thing.
It's
not. Told you guys
it's always
this.
At the end of the day about money.
Well, it's the stem cell. Like, normally when they use stem cell, you're using stem cell. Like in our day, when we were born, we didn't necessarily save our stem cell. But now that they've, you know, medicine has evolved, now when you deliver babies, a lot of times they say, do you want to, you know, save your stem cell for your baby? And you say yes, and then you have to pay for
a
storage fee.
We do it. And what I've told you guys this, and I've also told you this is where the medical technology and medical advances is going. And I told you about my buddy that has a special needs child that actually they had one more child just to be able to, because they didn't save the stem cells in the past and they've seen what it can do. And I've told you the stories of several of my friends that are going through different things and are using stem cells. And the crazy thing is, it's not like your blood where you have to have a perfect blood type match if you're going to do like organ donors and things like that. You can get stem cells from anyone that can help. I believe it's more advantageous when you get them from a relative. So like from when you have a child and you want to keep it within your bloodlines. But I know friends that have gotten stem cells from just a mother having a child that they didn't even know previously, but the stem cells have helped. I know of friends that have had their stem cells, and it's not legal and officially certified by the Food and Drug Administration and all that to be able to do this in the United States yet, but they've gone to Mexico. And kind of like Kobe did with his knee, remember where he had that regeneration blood spinning? They took the stem cells out here, sent them to Mexico where they did what they had to do to clean them up and do the things like that. He went back to Mexico to where they put them back in, and the results have been life-changing.
Yeah. Justin Files on Twitter said, my dad got stem cell transplants for his lymphoma at MD Anderson here in Houston. So I guess there is some... I guess it just depends on the treatment or whatever. I don't know, but
yeah, like I said, believe- if you get it from yourself or if you get it from a relative, or they're a lot less strict in foreign countries. Even the doctor that Joe Rogan had, he doesn't practice in the United States. He practices in Panama.
The bigger thing is they don't want you like changing the course of nature, so to speak.
Right.
So if you just get stem cells from a relative or from someone you don't know and you're just having the stem cells put in, that's okay. But when you're trying to like alter them, spin them, do some things to clean them up, that's where I think it gets a little...
Can I use stem cells to enlarge my peen? Is that... for a friend, he was asking.
Yeah, that one I'm just unaware of.
It's just a question.
If you can pinpoint it and you can get all those cells going to that region and just that region alone.
It was just a question.
I mean, you run the risk of if it goes elsewhere.
Oh, man.
Looking like a D-head instead of getting it on your D.
That would be weird.
I would think so.
I feel like
I can't imagine your face with a force.
I feel like they can control that, right?
I hope so. I don't know. Maybe that's why it's not legal yet. Maybe you grow another one under your armpit, and then you really look weird.
You got one inside the other like a Russian nesting doll.
Now you got a T-shirt and a boxer brief under your armpit.
Oh, man.
Keep everything in line.
I don't know.
Well, I hope our drive on, Nick, you're not driving home after the show.
I am not.
So you luck out today. You get to beat traffic.
But shouldn't be. I mean, I never really have a problem with traffic. Yesterday was a rare situation.
I'm talking about 2 days in a row, though. I said to that, Barry's the one that always has to endure traffic all the way to the north side.
Yeah, he's the one that has to go through.
Not today, though. It's workshop day at the Houston Improv and open mic, so I just kind of either hang out here, go grab some food at the Big City Wings right there next to it.
Grab me some wings,
do some writing. Yeah, I will, and I'll eat them. You think I'm bringing them back for you?
Why not?
Because I'm going to... I got writing and stuff
hook
to do.
Hook it up with that... What is it, that sour...
Love, man.
No.
Bro.
Hook it up with what?
Bro, aren't you driving over there anyway?
Yeah. Okay. But I'm not driving back here.
You're just serving your fat ass. You ain't serving mine.
Why would I bring you food back here? I'm not your personal Uber Eats.
Whatever. Show's up.
Nick's looking for an assistant, by the way, if you can help him out.
Yeah. I
need- So if you want to bring him wings, you could audition for the role. And then maybe you could still find one That's for yourself.
Right. That's right.
And it would all work out as we brought the show full circle just like that. Way to go, fellas. All right, another day in the books. Way back Wednesday tomorrow. Do we have any
ideas? What's the theme?
Great idea.
All over it. I'm all over it.
Yeah, I bet you are. At 12:58. Yep. Hey, guys, the theme is 1998.
Why, Nick? Because it's a great year. All right, there you go. All right, we'll count backwards and figure out what we're going to do tomorrow. But way back Wednesday
FBI.
Coming up.
Let's do one about the police because we've never done that before.
Go to break.
One hit wonders. Let's do that
Let's
one.
Let's do a song about Homeland Security. That'll be the theme, Homeland Security.
Cause your goo-goo's good. We got to go. Usual
Love
suspect.
You, Nicholas.
For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great night, everybody. The Blitz is next with the Hall of Fame. Don't go anywhere. ESPN 97.5.
And I didn't know if they sniffed their own farts or not.
Yeah, boy.
ESPN 97.5.